This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We're starting Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph. Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph completes Parak Tishi. The ninth Parak begins the tenth Parak. Katan Shi Siyoy Aviv. A katan whose father married him off. Ksubasa Kayemes. His ksuba stands. The truth is, a father cannot marry off his son who's a katan. But if he did, and the katan got married, that marriage has no standing. But if he stays living with her, even though the ksuba that was written was not binding on him, but if he lives with her after he became a gadol, there's a rule, ein adam bayo bilasa bilasnos. A man, once he becomes of age, is not going to want to consider his living a bilasnos. So the halach is, the ksuba devolves on him, and he's obligated to pay the ksuba. Why? Sha'amanas kein kaima. Because with that condition, he's staying with her. Ger shenis gaira ishtoi imai. A ger who converts his wife with him. Ksubasa kayemes. So basically, a guy converts, and his wife converts, and as a guy, Tony obligated himself to Joanne to give her a ksuba. Then they converted, and he became Tzvi, and she became Yenta Shprinza. And so the halacha is that he is now obligated to honor the ksuba that he wrote as a guy. Ksubasa kayama sham naskin kaima. That's why he kept her. Let's say they do. I mean, they often do. Yeah? I mean, they maybe...
I mean, okay, but they're not called ketubas. I mean,
no, you're right. It was just a contractual obligation.
And now converting to ketubah?
And what?
And now, miraculously, it converts, like they convert to...
Call it whatever you want. That monetary obligation, he re-obligates himself in by living with her. Which is very interesting. Now, what would be, is a big question here. Let's say he didn't live with her. He's not obligated anymore? Let's say he did not have bia with her yet. But yesterday, or a year ago when he married her, he said, I'm going to give you X, Y, and Z. So now when he becomes a Jew, he doesn't have his monetary obligations fall off. He doesn't have to keep his word. Do we say ger shenis gair kekatan shena adami regarding a financial obligation? Right, that's a very interesting question.
Would the minor be the same thing?
With a minor would not be obligated. In other words, it's only because he's living with her now, he's committing to what was originally put on him. But he's committing now. The question is, a Gentile has to honor financial responsibility. Would they become nullified when he converted if he didn't live with her again? So the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Huna loishanu ela manu masayim. This din that the ksuba is activated when the minor becomes of age and lives with her, or the ger converts. That's only the ksuba of 100 or 200. Avo toisefes ein la. But the toisefes the ksuba, whatever he added to the core amount, he is not responsible for. Rabbi Yehuda says afil toisefes yesha. He even has to give her the toisefes. Rashi says, what's this machlekes? Because this ksuba is completely meaningless. The ksuba of a minor, the ksuba of a kata, of a guy. But there's a din, there's something called Tnai Bezdin. Tnai Bezdin is that when you marry a woman, the Bezdin automatically obligates you to ksuba, whether one was written or not. So Tosis asks, then it has nothing to do with him written the ksuba originally. The obligation is now. He marries her now, and there's a din of Tanai Bezdin. So the chiddush is, says Tosfos, that what if he married her as a basula? Now she's a ba'ula. She still gets 200. So it's not just because there's a Tanai Bezdin now that she gets the money, because now she's not a basula. The Tanai Bezdin somehow activates what she was originally. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. On the other hand, what does Rabbi Huda hold? Rabbi Huda says that she even gets a Tosefes. Why? Because the husband is saying that whatever I promised you originally, I stand by that. Okay, that's the machlokes. So Meisvei, we're going to ask a question on Rabbi Huda. Chidshu noitelas matcha chidshu. If, let's say, the katan, when he became a gadol, or the guy when he converted, wants to add a new amount to the ksuba, then it could be added. She's going to get what he added. But that implies chidshu in. She'll only get extra if he added. Loi chidshu loi. But if he didn't add, she won't get anything additional. That implies, like Rav Huna, that she only gets the base ksuva of mana mesayim. Says the Gemara, ema af mashachitshu. Say, what it means is, she, if they add, she'll also get what they added. But of course, she'll get what was more than the baseline ksuba to begin with. So Gemara challenges that. What are you talking about? V'halai taniyachi. That's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said chidshu. The Braisa said, if they added, no, it tells not shechidshu. Loi chidshu besula goiva masayim va'amana mana. It says explicitly, if they were not mechadesh, then the besula gets 200 and the amana gets 100. So you can't say chidshu means besides what was originally added. The Braisa says explicitly, if loi chidshu, you only get 200. That implies that she doesn't get what was added originally. So Gemara says, Tiyofter de Rabbi Huda. This is a complete refutation of Rabbi Huda. So what did Rabbi Huda think? Why did he make this mistake? Says Gemara, Rabbi Huda masnisen atya asi. Rabbi Huda was led astray by the Mishnah. Because hu savar ksubasa kayemes akula milsahi. When the Mishnah says ksubasa kayemes, he thought it meant it's going on everything. Ksubasa kayemes means she gets the 200 and the toisefes. V'lohi, it's not true. Iker ksuba kai, it's only going on the iker ksuba. It's only going on the iker ksuba. Okay. So, that is the conclusion of the ninth parak. Hadrin alach hakoisev le'ishtai. So, let us begin the 10th parak of Maseches Kesubais. Mi shehayah nasoy shtei nashim. Let's say someone's married to two women, umeis harishayna, and the first one dies. I'm sorry, mi shehayah nasoy shtei nashim, someone's married to two women, umeis, and he dies, the husband dies. So now he has two wives. Harishayna kedemes l'shniya. The first wife gets to collect the ksuba before the second wife, because the date in her ksuba precedes the date of the second one. And the Yarsha Rishana Kaidim Liyarsha Shniya, the heirs of the first wife will take precedence of collecting over the heirs of the second wife. Nasa Asarishaina Vamesa. Let's say he married the first wife and she died. So what's his responsibility to her? If he married the first one and she died, so he's yorish her. He's yorish her property. He's yorish her ksuba. Nasa shniya v'mesu. He married the second woman and then he dies. So now he has to pay a ksuba to the first one and a ksuba to the second one. The thing is, the ksuba that he owes the second one is a debt. The ksuba he owes the first one is Yarshim. So the halacha is Shnia v'Yarsheha, the second wife and her heirs, Kaidman li Yarshe Rishana, take precedence over the first one. the first heirs. Because to the first heirs, he's paying as inheritors. To the second heirs, he's paying as creditors. So of course they're going to take precedence, because anytime somebody is Yoresh, you're only Yoresh after you take care of all the debts that you have. Look at Rashi. Shni of Yerusha Kodman, Shehi Balas Choyf. She is a creditor. Avo Rishayna Bon Lirish is the first one come to inherit the father. Da Enon Inon Yarsen Tnan. They inherit. Lefikach Parines Achoyf Chila. First you pay the debt. Da Shar Yerusha and the rest will be a inheritance. Fine. Says the Gemara. Midiktani Harishayna Kodamas Lishniya. From the fact that it says the first one takes precedence over the second one, that implies that he only takes precedence. If Eloika Tani Harishina Yesh Slavashnia Inla, why doesn't it say the first one collects a ksuba and the second one does not collect the ksuba? Mikla, from here we learned the Ikad Mashnia Vitafsa, that if the second one advances and grabs, we don't take it away. It's only the first one takes precedence over the second one. But if the second one grabs, we don't take it away from her. Shema mina, from here we see Bal Choyv Me'uchar Shekoidam V'gava, that if you have two creditors and the second creditor comes and grabs Mashagava Gava, his collection is a good collection. Meaning from our Mishnah that says that the first one takes precedence over the second one, but it doesn't say the first one collects and the second one doesn't. That implies it's only that he takes precedence, but if the second one advances and grabs, then his grabbing is effective. So we should learn from here that a bal chayv meuchar that grabs what he collects is a valid collection. Says Gemara, la'olam eim lechamasha gavah lo'gav. Maybe I'll tell you the grabbing of the second creditor is not valid. So why does it say the first one takes precedence? Legamri katani, complete precedence, that even if the second one grabs, the first one really could come and take it away. Kedetnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Bein koidem labas, a son comes before a daughter when it comes to Yerusha. It doesn't mean that the daughter could come and grab. No, in fact, if the daughter grabs, it goes back to the son. Ben kan labas means the son inherits, and the daughter, and when there's a son, does not inherit. Ika da amri, here's another version of this discussion. You know, the Mishnah doesn't say, if the second one grabs, we don't take it away. Why doesn't the Mishnah say, if the second one grabs, we don't take it away? That implies Meklal di'i kadma shniya v'tafsa, that implies we would take it away. That kadma means that completely he takes precedence and we would take it away if the second one grabs. Meklal di'i kadma shniya v'tafsa, from here we see if the second one comes and grabs, mafkina mina, we'll take it away from her. And meaning, why does the Mishnah say the first one takes precedence over the second one? Why doesn't it go so far as to say that if the second one grabs, we'll let her keep it? That implies we won't let her keep it. Shema mina bal chayv meuchar shekadem agava. From here, we should derive that if a debtor a later creditor that came and grabbed, masha gava la'gava, what he grabs is not considered grabbing, and we'll take it away from him. So the Gemara says, "La'olam eimalach masha gava gava." Maybe I'll tell you that when a later creditor grabs, it's a good collection, and ein moitzian miyada. So then, why didn't the Mishnah say ein moitzian miyada? The answer is it couldn't say ein moitzian miyada, because since in the Seifa it says that the second one takes precedence over the first one, the Bal Choyv, meaning the second wife, will take precedence over the Yerushim of the first wife. And there, if the first wife grabs, it's not good. Therefore, Taninami Rishani Kodam Sushni, and the Reish, it says the first one takes precedence over the second one. But the truth is, the halacha would be that if she grabbed, it's a good grabbing. And you can't imply that Ikad Mashniya Vitafsa Mafkina. No, maybe Loi Mafkinan. Why didn't it say Loi Mafkinan? Because in the Seifa, it can't say Loi Mafkinan, because in the Seifa, it would be Mafkinan, because in the Seifa, we would take it away. But maybe in the Reisha, the Mishnah didn't say Ein Moitzi and Miyada, because it wants to be parallel to the Seifa, where we would be Moitzi and Miyada. Okay, so this is Daf Tzadi. I thank you for joining us this evening. And Be'ezus Hashem, we'll try to do Daf Tzadi Amud Beis next week. Okay? Shkoyach, everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Kol tov, good night. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.